Question: Are angels superior to man? Answer: The natural excellence of the angels far surpasses that of man. The scriptures say, Thou hast found him a little less than the angels, Psalm 8, verse 6. This text, in its mystical sense, is used of Christ, but in its literal historic sense is made use of with regard to man. Of the demon, it is said, There is not a power on earth that could compare with him, Job chapter 41, verse 24. St. Augustine, in his City of God, says, quote, The angelic world, in its natural dignity, surpasses all other things that the Lord has made, and from its very excellence, he argues, By so much was their transgressions the more culpable, by as much as their dignity was the more sublime. End quote. Even the very Gentile races believed in their superiority and also in their power to injure or serve, and hence they paid to them an inferior worship as beings to be propitiated. Question: Whether during their time of trial did the angels receive supernatural grace? Answer: Yes, all the angels received grace from God during their time of trial. The good angels received it. They were created for eternal blessedness just as man, and grace is as necessary for them in order to obtain supernatural merit as for man. Therefore, they received supernatural grace. St. Basil says, quote, There is no sanctification without the Spirit, for not even the virtues of heaven were of their own nature sanctified. If that were the case, there would then, indeed, be no difference between them and the Holy Ghost. End quote. Didymus, in his first book on the Holy Spirit, says, quote, The Holy Ghost not alone accompanies, as an indweller, men who are far away from heaven, but even does so with each and every one of the angels. End quote. St. Damascene, quote, By a word the angels were created, and by the sanctification of the Holy Ghost they have received all manner of perfection. End quote. The bad angels received grace, for the same asserted of them as of the good angels, and the scriptures and the fathers strongly emphasize the fact. Isaiah, quote, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, who didst arise as the morning? End quote. These words mean a fall from a place of eminent dignity and excellence, such as the wonderful brightness and splendor of the grace of God. No natural brightness of the angels, great though it be, is like. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, quote, Thou wast the seal of remembrance, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou wast in the pleasures of the paradise of God, every precious stone thy covering, the ceratus, the topaz, and the jasper, the chrysolite, and the onyx, and the beryl, and the sapphire, and the carbuncle, and the emerald, gold the work of thy beauty, and thy pipes were prepared in the day thou wast created. Thou a cherubim, stretched out and protecting, and I set thee in the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day of thy creation, until iniquity was found in thee. End quote. The Holy Fathers, in commenting on these words of Ezekiel, apply them to Lucifer, although in the sacred text the words are historically addressed to the king of Tyre. Writing on, quote, That was the seal of remembrance, end quote, they understand the phrase to signify that Lucifer was created with a very great excellence to an exceeding close image of God. And the other words, quote, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, end quote, are always used in Scripture as the perfection of supernatural grace. Our blessed Lord himself says of the demon, quote, He was a murderer and stood not in the truth, end quote. John chapter 8, verse 44. Now, by the word truth in this text, St. Thomas and the fathers, especially the Greek fathers, understand grace. The same is said, in other words, in the Epistle of St. Jude in the 6th verse, quote, And the angels who kept not their principality, but forsook their own habitation, he hath reserved under darkness in everlasting chains, end quote. Man, as is commonly held, was created in the state of grace. Now, it was fitting that angels, too, should be created in a state of grace, since the end for which man and angels were created was the same, since, moreover, the angel's nature was more perfect, and therefore ought not to be longer deprived of the grace of sanctification, and since, especially, all of God's works are perfect, and ought not, therefore, to be less so in the case of angels than of men. Question. But did they receive sanctifying grace at the instant of their creation? Answer. Most probably, and all but certainly, yes. St. Augustine says, quote, God created the angels, building up in them their nature, and at the same time bestowing on them his grace, end quote. St. Basil, quote, the angels were not created in a weakling state, by degrees increasing and growing perfect, and thus became worthy of the reception of the Spirit, but in their very formation, and as if mixed with their substance, they received at the instant of creation the infusion of grace, end quote. St. Bonaventure, discussing the matter, thus writes, quote, it is to be answered that this is a question of fact, and since there is nothing else to guide us than the congruity of God's doing so, we may regard both opinions as probable, like others before us. Some say that the angels were created in grace, and they argue from God's liberality and the angels' fitness that it must be so, God being willing to give where no obstacle is placed, and the angels being pure and clear vessels offering no obstacles to the infusion of his grace, so that God did not leave them empty, as it were, even for a moment, but the instant he created them, that instant he enriched them. They find an analogy in his creation of the inanimate world. The trees he brought forth clothed with verdure and laden with fruit, equally so all other things in their highest and noblest state, and hence they infer the angels in the enjoyment of grace. Others, however, there are who hold that the angels did not receive grace at the first instant, but afterwards. They argue that, though God could do as the supporters of the other opinion say, yet his liberality is regulated according to wisdom and justice. For instance, God could have redeemed man immediately after his fall. It would appear to have been more liberal than what he did, yet he did not. Then it were more fitting, they say, that the angels, seeing how good the grace of God was, should covet it and thus receive it. According to this view, Lucifer never had grace, and if he, who was the highest among them, had it not, a fortiori the others had it not. This opinion the master of sentences, Scotus, seems to accept, and indeed it may be looked upon as the more generally accepted of the two. It is further argued by them that the angels' conversion must take place from some different standpoint. From this, the good angels were converted to good, and therefore deserved merit, the wicked to evil, and were therefore condemned. End quote. This is no longer the common opinion. Modern theologians find it under every sense more convenient to hold that God created the angels from the very first in a state of grace, and that he placed the labor of trial before them. What that trial was will be discussed later on, that the wicked angels failed in their endurance of that trial, and their sin was therefore doubly malicious, that the good angels were faithful and stepped from grace to greater grace and to the enjoyment of the beatific vision. Quote, each angel perhaps had thousands of beautiful graces. To many of these, we on earth could give no name, if we beheld them. But they were all wonderful, all instinct with supernatural holiness and spiritual magnificence. End quote, Father Faber, Precious Blood, page 15. And again, quote, God became a king by becoming a creator. It was thus that he gained an empire over which his insatiable love might rule. Nature is very beautiful, whether we think of angelic or human nature. Created nature is a shadow of the uncreated nature, so real and so bright that we cannot think of it without exceeding reverence. Yet God created neither angels nor man in a state of nature. This is, to my mind, the most wonderful and the most suggestive thing which we know about God. He would have no reasonable nature, even from the very first, which should not be partaker of his divine nature. This is the very meaning of a state of grace. He, as it were, clung to his creation while he let it go. He would not leave to it breath for one instant in a merely natural state. The very act of creation was full of the fondness of maternal jealousy. It was to speak in a human way, as if he feared that it would wander from him, and that his attractions would be too mighty for the littleness of finite beings. Oh, that majesty of God, which seems clothed with such worshipful tranquillity in the eternity before creation! How passionate, how yearning, how motherlike, how full of inventions and excesses it appears in the act of creation!